Welcome to Docin' Joe's, the new podcast about everything Hamilton Joe's. I'm your host, Gavin Stark, and this is an exciting first episode we've got for you coming here. I'll give you a little rundown of myself first, your host. So I just wrapped up my freshman year at Miami University and really just got an internship with the Joes. I'm on the broadcast team and also running this podcast here for you fans. But what we're going to do for this podcast is just give you really rundowns of what to expect prior to weekly matchups and weekly series. And then we're also going to give big recaps of the week prior. And I'm expecting to do about 1 to 2 episodes a week, give or take. And we've got a lot coming for you guys. So I'm super excited. A lot in plan. Going to have different players on the podcast and just give you guys the best information possible and give you guys really some insight on this special Joe's team. And we're also going to talk about the Great Lake Summer Collegiate League in total, not just the Joe's, but podcast name is Talking Joe's. So you know what we're going to do. We're going to get right underway and talk about the Hamilton Joe's. So let's give a recap of the last week here for the Hamilton Joe's. The Joe's did drop both series on the week, but pitching starting to show some life. We really saw some life in the pitching throughout the week, and I think that's a super big bright spot and a super big thing to look forward to. You know, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. This Joe's team off to not the best start, a little bit shaky at 4-5, but they've got a lot to look forward to. I think they've got two series that are just crucial coming up for them on the season. But they showed some life, with their pitching throughout this week, and I think that's the biggest thing to look at and really build off going into the rest of the season. Still a young season, only 3 series in, so I've got a lot to learn about this team. But game 1 of the Copperhead series, they lose 14-3 after giving up a long 6th inning. We've seen these long innings happen time and time again to this Joe's team. It's really just beat them up and honestly been hard for them to come back on. We've seen other teams, you know, give up the long innings to the Joes. We saw that happen in the first game of the season when they took on the Mariners in Grand Lake, and the Mariners gave up 2 really long innings for the Joes, and that was a recipe for a disaster on the Mariners, and the Joes ended up pulling together 16-5 in that first game. So an absolute dominant game there. But then now they're starting to give up these big innings. It's really causing them to have a lot to really chase after during these ball games, and it's just been too much times for them. But they dropped game 1 to the Copperheads, 14-3, after giving up that long 6th inning. That was super damaging. We saw a player get walked, I believe, twice in the same inning, which is just unheard of things, and that just can't be happening in a baseball game. But game 2, the Joes traveled to Ohio University at Bob Wren Field and pulled away with a 7-4 victory as Aiden Coffey racked up 2 base hits and Jordan Taylor secured the win, going 4.1 innings and only 1 earned run. But the biggest thing you take from here is obviously the win. But I look at that Aiden Coffey racking up 2 base hits, and that is just crucial, crucial. This is a kid that started off a little shaky on the season, and now he racked up 2 hits on that game for game 2 and really led this team. But this is a guy that I've been high on really all season, and I think he is a really good ball player. And they've had him at shortstop and third base, and I believe they've DH'd him a couple times as well. I'm a super big fan of Aiden Coffey, and I think he's got a lot in his tool bag, but he's batting .368 now, so things are starting to trend in the right direction. He had a really good week, as we'll talk about later on this episode. But Aiden Coffey, a brilliant second game, going 2-for-4 and leading this team to a 7-4 victory at Ohio University. And then game three rolled around Thursday night. The Joes went back to Ohio University for the rubber match against the Copperheads, and they lost 11-1, struggling with the bats and on the mound as they let up yet another long damaging inning. So that's two times just in this series where they've gotten blown out, and it's due to these long, long innings. And the bats just weren't able to get going. I mean, in this series, you gave up 14 runs, and you only got 3 in the first game. And then you come back and get 7 runs, which is solid. I mean, you take that any night, 7 runs. And then you go to game 3, and you only get 1 run. So just kind of inconsistent with the bats has really been the story. And that was the story of this series, where they dropped the series. It ended up going to 3-3. And then they would welcome the Michigan Monarchs to town, one of the hottest teams in the Great Lakes Summer Collegiate League. And this series was an absolute banger from start to finish. I mean, I was grateful enough to be able to call these three games alongside Brenton Bucher in the broadcast booth on Meredix. And what a fun series this really was from start to finish. Couldn't have had a better series, honestly. But sadly, the series did not turn in the Joes' favor at the end of the day. But game one was an absolute thriller as we went to 11 innings. The Joes were trailing 10-8 after giving up a big inning in the fourth. They climbed their way back in the eighth when Jackson Wang would hit a huge two-out, two-run double to get things evened up. And I've loved what I've seen from Jackson Wang so far in the season. He just seems like a player that's just getting better and better and more confident with that bat. And he's a good outfielder as well. He's batting 259 in the season, and I think that number is just going to keep rising. He's got the most at-bats on the team as well with 27, so something to be noted. He's got 5 RBIs on the season, 2 doubles, showed that power as well, and only struck it out twice, and has a stolen base. So this guy, really all the tools, and I think he's one of those dudes that out on the field every night. Guy that is in that lineup every single night, no matter what. Think he's just a really good ball player, and all around, has all the fundamentals and tools to just be great for this Joes team. But Joes ended up losing in 11 innings, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the duo of Matty Helms and Brendan Mullen would dominate in their combined 3 innings, giving up no runs. And Matty Helms has looked unbelievable so far in this season. Looks like the for sure closing arm for them. He's got some velocity on that fastball, and he's got some really good pitches, and I really like what I'm seeing from him. He's in the transfer portal right now after a freshman season at Northern Kentucky, so a lot of things for him to really work towards, and I think he's doing a really good job far, and definitely the for sure closing arm. And then Brendan Mullen, we've seen him struggle a couple season, but he looked fabulous. I mean, he looked absolutely amazing. I mean, I was impressed with what I saw from him. He went an inning and third, and he looked great. He really did. And this game ended up going into the 11th, still sitting at 10-10, and this meant we'd go sudden death, where if the Joes would score, they would win after Aaron Brill decided to get the bats out, which I actually liked that move. I thought the bats were trending in the right direction during this ball game, so why not give it to your batter's hands and really give them the chance to pull through on this game. But the Joes would not get a run across the plate and would fall 10-10 in a tiebreaker. But this game was absolutely electric from start to finish. The Joes were kind of climbing back, and then in the eighth, Jackson Wang, obviously, like we said a little bit ago, would hit that two-run, two-out double to get things evened up, and it was just a well-hit ball from him. Jackson Wang stepped up when it mattered most and delivered for his team to get things evened up at 10-10. And obviously, things didn't end up in the Joes' favor, but there was a lot to build off of. You know, we've seen the relieving arm struggle in this short season so far. You know, we're 9 games in, and we've seen those relieving arms really struggle, but not today, not that night. Matty Helms and Brendan Mullen were fabulous, and they really brought some life to this pitching staff, it feels like, for the rest of this season. The Joes would dominate from start to finish. And when I mean dominate, I mean a masterclass from pitcher Michael Bailo. Unbelievable game. I haven't seen a performance like this in a really long time, and he just looked unreal. Bailo won a complete game shutout. So it was a doubleheader day on Saturday, which means you only play 7 innings total, and Bailo went all 7. And I think if this is a 9-inning game, he's going 9 even. This dude, unreal. They ended up pulling through 5-0 thanks to a huge home run from Jordan Mallett and the dominant performance, obviously, from Michael Bailo. Bailo, not a big strikeout guy, but just the Monarchs were never able to get anything off of him, truly. They really weren't. He dominated from start to finish on the mound, and it felt like he was going 7 when we were sitting in the fourth inning in the broadcast booth. I looked over at Brennan, and I was like, is he going to go a complete game? And Brennan was like, I think that's the expectation at this point, and I mean, he sure did that. We were able to talk to him after the game. He was talking about how the bullpen is super loose right now. Obviously, some struggling at the beginning of this season so far with the bullpen, but he talked about how these guys work their tail ends off, and they know it's going to pay off. They know great things are coming, and I think you saw that this week, and you saw these guys really start to ease in as a bullpen in total. They had a really good weekend. Obviously, didn't pull through in the series, but a really good weekend for the pitching staff, and I think there's a lot to build off. But that home run that I just talked about from Jordan Mallett, I mean, he crushed this one, hitting one of the light poles. Just drilled it off the fly, and that's so big for Jordan Mallett, as he's kind of struggled with the bat early on in the season so far. And you know he has all this power at Indiana Tech. I mean, he was one of the best hitters on that ball club in this past spring, and we saw the power with him there, so we knew it was coming here for this Joes team. It was just a matter of time. And it's funny because me and Brendan were actually talking about it during the game when Mallett was up, about how big a home run here would, you know, do for the Joes, and then he steps up and delivers right then and there about 2 pitches later. So really funny sequence there. But Jordan Mallett, I think that's so big for his really turning point of the season. I think now he's just going to take off. Saw the one go out, and I think you're going to see a few more of those throughout the season. This is a guy that had 15 home runs in the spring for Indiana Tech, so expecting huge things out of him at first base and at the plate. So a super, super well hit ball from Jordan Mallett, and I think it's going to do wonders for him and that bat going forward in the season. Game 3 was played about 45 minutes after the conclusion of Game 2, and Dean Brown got the start, and he was fabulous. He truly was, giving up only one run and going 6 innings, but that one run ended up being all that was needed for the Monarchs to get the win and get the series win. They really stole that series. It felt like the Joes just really couldn't get that run across the plate, leaving runners on about 90 feet away multiple times in this game. Really, believe they left 6 runners on base in scoring position throughout this game, so the opportunities were there, just weren't able to knock the runs in, and they ended up falling in the series 1-0. So this series is absolutely unbelievable. This is a series where you got the Joes. They win in total runs, you know, 15-11. They win the series in total runs, but they lose the series. That's baseball for you. You saw the first game, you know, we go 11 innings, 10-10. These next 2 games, it was a struggle for teams to even get runs across the plate, as the Joes shut out the Monarchs in game 2, and then vice versa, 45 minutes, the third game was played, and the Joes are shut out by the Monarchs. So just a really exciting loss for the Joes in total. But honestly, you got a lot to build off of with this series to look back on. It's one of the top teams in the Great Lakes Summer Collegiate League, and you went toe-to-toe with them the entire weekend. And your pitching looked fabulous. For the first time of the season, the pitching really stuck out as a whole for this team, and I think that's just huge moving forward. I know the coaching staff was a little bit worried about this really pitching staff and what was going on in that bullpen, and things turned around this weekend, and I think it's a lot to really look forward to for the rest of the season. If the Joes pitch like they did this weekend, they're one of the best teams in the whole entire league, and it's not even really a conversation. It's just a fact. That's how good this team is and how talented they are. Just got to get everything really flowing together. Because it feels like when the pitching was good, the hitting was bad. When the pitching is bad, the hitting is pretty good. So if you get those things meshed together, finally, this team is one that's going to get hot. And I believe they're going to get hot at a good time and end up back in the playoffs and hopefully back for a championship to repeat from last year. I mean, this is a championship caliber team. Everybody knows it. It's just a matter of time when things are going to get clicking and really start trend in the right direction for this Joes team. I mean, they sit at 4-5 going into this six-day straight week, which they're going to play six games in a row, and we'll talk about that right now, as the Joes are going to travel to a red-hot Lima. So Lima sits at 7-1. So this is a huge series for the Joes, but they're going to travel to Lima Tuesday and Wednesday, and then Lima will then travel to Hamilton for some Thursday night baseball in Hamilton. So if you're a fan, come out to that game Thursday night. It's going to be a huge one, and hopefully a game where the Joes either have the series closed out already, or it's going to be a rubber match, hopefully, and this Joes can pull together and pull out a huge series victory, because this one would do wonders. Then after that, the Joes will go back on the road again on Friday and Saturday to take on the Flag City Sluggers, who sit at 3-6. And then Sunday, the Joes will return to Hamilton to host Game 3 of the Flag City Series. So you got two home games this week on Thursday and Sunday night, both. And I think this Flag City Series you look at, and you're looking for a sweep. Truly, this is a series where you can't lose. You really can't. But obviously, you look at Lima first, you take this series first, and it's a huge series. And if you can pull through a series win against Lima, go into Flag City on Friday night, pull out a win there, and then pull out another win Saturday, and you're coming home Sunday with a winning record, and then hopefully you can shut out the Flag City series with a 3-0 win. But you're taking it one game at a time, one series at a time, if you're the Joes here. You sit at 4-5 right now. Let's go over some stats for this team and some really stories. First, I want to talk about Jackson Crist. He was the league player of the week after the first week. Batted 600. He hasn't had an at-bat since then. He's got 10 at-bats on the season. Hurt his groin or hamstring, I believe, and he's been day-to-day. Didn't play at all this weekend. Was expected to kind of play maybe on Saturday in that doubleheader, didn't get the nod, didn't play. I'm guessing the injury was just still lingering. But he'll be back this week, expected. And, I mean, getting him back is just huge. Getting that bat back is just massive. So he's already got six hits on the season and only 10 at-bats. He's got a double, four RBIs, and then he's got that home run as well. This is a beast. This dude's a beast. And getting him back in that lineup is going to be huge. Getting him back in that rotation will be huge, so he can play first base. And then he also has been getting DH so far in the season. So I think he is really set for that DH spot. And then he'll get some time at first base as well. And then another leading hitter on this team, leading batter, is Alex Conrad. And he hasn't played in a little bit. He's got 10 at-bats as well and 4 hits. So he's batting 400. An outfielder in Alex Conrad, and when getting him some more playing time would be huge as well. And then Aiden Coffey, he's batting 368 now after starting off really slow on the season. He's gotten things clicking, and it's just going to do wonders for this team. I think he's really the engine of this team and a huge focal point. And he's just a stud at shortstop and third base. I think he looks more natural at third base right now, but really good at both positions and a really good bat. And getting his bat hot now is massive for this team. And then we move on to Diego DiCello, batting 316. Things are starting to really click for DiCello, and he's just going to continue to get better and better as he plays in that third base and second base spot. And he DH'd a couple times over this weekend in the Monarchs series, and he looked pretty good at DH. I don't mind that spot for him at all, but a really good third baseman in DiCello, the Hamilton native. Brett Denby, been a little off and on with the bat so far in the season. Looks pretty good at shortstop, and I mean really good at shortstop. But second here to congratulate Brett Denby on his commitment to the Wright State Raiders. Played two seasons at Georgia Tech, and now will come to the Dayton area and play for the Raiders and Raider Nation over there. A really good team who just made it to the regionals and ended up beating Vanderbilt, which was just unbelievable. But he's going to go play for that organization, a really good organization over there in the Dayton area in Wright State. So congratulations to Brett Denby. But right now he's batting .263, so not bad at all, really, in his 19 at-bats. But I think that number is going to continue to rise as we go on into the season. I really like Brett Denby's game. I really like how he plays at shortstop. He looks really good and probably the best shortstop on this ball club. And then Jackson Wang, talked about him a few times in this episode so far. He's batting .259 with the most at-bats on the team, like we said. And I think this kid is just an absolute stud. Plays really well in the outfield, really good with the bat. And you're going to keep seeing that number trend in the right direction. But other than that, if you're looking at these numbers as well, you kind of scroll down to Jordan Mallett. That number at .211 is rising, I think, game by game, it's going to go up. He is a stud, and I think I see that number rising and rising for him as he got off to that kind of slow start in these first 8-7 games, I guess, and now he, I think, clicking with that home run. Ended up DHing in the doubleheader second game on Saturday. Didn't get a hit, but looks really good, and that home run is going to do wonders for his season. And then Mark Iozzo, he is batting .190 with 21 at-bats. I think that number is going to rise as well. I wouldn't worry about him. I really don't worry about these bats on this Joe's team. I mean, these are all really good hitters. Just kind of gotten off to a slow start in total as a team. But, I mean, all in all, I think this is just going to rise. And this is going to be a team that gets hot. You watch, this team is going to get hot, and there's not going to be a worry in the world about their bats when that happens, or even about the pitching, really. You've found your pitching, it looks like, this weekend, and yeah, talk about the pitching in a second. I want to talk about Christopher Roja, who plays ball at Miami, love and honor. He is struggling with the bat right now, but he's got 24 at-bats, one of the most at-bats on the team. I mean, I think he's just got to get things really going. Not a power hitter in Roja, but this is a kid that won MAC Player of the Week in February. I mean, this is an absolute stud of a baseball player, and his game's going to continue to trend in the right direction. He's seen time in the outfield at left field a couple times. Played in left field in the second game of the doubleheader and looked pretty good out there. But you're going to continue to see this kid's game rise, and that batting number, it's going to go up, and I see that touching the 200s quickly, very quickly. So, overall, batting numbers aren't great as we look at them right now, but they're trending in the right direction as a team, and I think that's something to look forward to and really not worry about in total. So, I want to go over to the pitching real quick and talk about the pitching here. So, saw Dean Brown get that his second start of the season. He's now pitched 8 1/3 innings so far in the season, giving up 5 hits and 2 runs. I mean, a really, really good pitcher in Dean Brown. He's looked brilliant so far in the season. Looks like one of those starters for this team, and a really good one at that. And then you move on to Michael Bylo. He is your ace. This is your ace. Michael Bylo is the guy, the George Mason dude. He's the ace, really good kid, and that's the arm where you want to either pitch game one or game three or somewhere around that. He pitched last Sunday in game three and then ended up pitching Saturday, so not the full week of rest that you're used to seeing, but he seems like that game three arm for the Joes, I would say, moving forward. This is your ace and a guy that you have a lot of confidence in. He's pitched 11 2/3 and has given up 5 hits and only 1 run. So, unbelievable stuff, really, from Michael Bylo and Dean Brown. They've been brilliant. Then your other starter on the weekend was Dale Ellis. He's pitched eight and two thirds of an inning. He's got nine hits. Kind of struggling a little bit, I would say. His ERA is a 4.15, so could get that number down maybe a little bit. And I expect that number to drop down some more as we move forward on the season. And then we talk about some relieving arms. Justin Hovel, really good arm out of Lincoln Trail, big kid, about 6'7", 250. So a really big kid and super big arm on the mound. He's one of those relieving arms that I have a lot of confidence in. He's only played one game and went two innings, and that was in the first game of the season, so you haven't seen him since then. I believe he went on vacation last week, so you're going to see him get some action in this week, and I expect to see some really good things from Justin Hovel. Got a lot of confidence in him in total. And then probably my favorite relieving arm, Matty Helms. He's given up 4.1 innings so far, or has 4.1 innings so far, and two hits only on the season. He's been brilliant with four strikeouts as well. Super good relieving arm. Probably got the most velocity, I would say. Him or Hovel in total. Probably got them two neck and neck for the most velocity on this team so far as we speak. And I really like Matty Helms' arm and what he's got to bring to the table for this Joe's pitching staff. And then the last pitcher I'll talk about for today is Carson Brower. A really, really good arm from Bellarmine University. Played for the Joe's last season, so here for his second season now. He's pitched 7.1 innings and given up only five hits and two runs. He's been really good. And I think, me and Brendan talked about this, that Carson Brower could be a starter for this team. So don't be shocked if you see him start a few games and look really good in that position as well. But he's been a really good relieving arm so far on this season for the Joes. But that should wrap up the first episode here for Talking Joes. Talked about a lot of things Joes baseball. Expect these episodes to be around 30 minutes, and sometimes we're going to get some interviews going with players on here. So stay tuned for episode 2 coming within the next week as we'll talk about these games that we just gave a little brief predictions too, but I want to give some predictions real quick actually on these games. Predicting that the Joes will win both of these series. I think they take on Flag City and sweep them 3-0, and then I believe they're going to take on the Lima Locos and get a huge victory, two games to one in that series as well, and that'll be huge for this team moving forward. But that's all I got for Talking Joes. As we move forward on this season, Joe's staying at 4-5 going into a big week of baseball ahead of us. First game tomorrow on Tuesday after a two-day break for this Joe's team that's going to do wonders for them. Thanks for listening to Talking Joe's. See you next time.